from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the last 50 games.
T-minus 4 hours. I got to be honest, that's Joel Sherman. I don't know a ton about him other than seeing him from time to time on MLB Network, and he writes for the New York Post, evidently. That's one of the best clips we've heard in the last 2 months on what the Pirates should do at the trade deadline from someone that's not from here. I loved that. Owe it to their fans. Try harder. Stop kicking the can down the road. No one would want to play these three pitchers. Actually go for it. Stop dilly-dallying. Stop vacillating over it. Stop telling us next year, the year after that. That was very well done, Chris, as we are 4 hours away from the trade deadline. I sit here a cynic. I don't usually like to play the role on the show of guy who is the skeptic, but that's where I'm at today. I do not anticipate anything that is going to really give me hope and give me confidence that the Pirates can make up the very small gap between them and the teams that occupy the wild card spots and give us a chance to see Skeens, Keller, Jones, etc. in the postseason.
Do you want me to be the optimist then? Because that ain't happening.
Donnie's here too.
The skeptic. Nothing that they've said or done. Actions speak louder than words, but none of their words have made me feel particularly good. And their lack of action so far has made me really in your corner as being cynical.
They've Walker, acquired, Beeks, and York is what we have so far, Chris.
Yeah. It sounds like a law firm. And let's see, Walker got designated for assignment. They gave away some DSL guy to the Mets for him. Beeks, they gave away a double-A pitcher. And York, they gave away Quinn Priester, who is probably expendable. Of those three guys, I guess you feel like York maybe eventually could help the team this year, but they sent him to Indy. They don't. What Joel Sherman said there that I think resonated the most with me is stop kicking the can down the road. Stop telling your fans next year. Like, for whatever fans you have left, and we know that there is still an ardent base of fans that wants to believe in this town because they can sell out games. You know, they get the Phillies in here, and there's some Philly fans. It's an electric factory. It's a great environment. Like, do something for your team, for these people. Do something other than what it appears they are going to do, which is, if anything, maybe acquire one marginal bat, maybe two, guys that barely constitute upgrades from one of the worst offenses top to bottom in the major leagues, then throw your hands up and say what, and I'm paraphrasing some of what Derek Shelton said, hey, sometimes it just doesn't work out, takes two to tango. Like, does the G... I watched last night's game, and I thought, this team is obviously short on positional talent. But what they do have in a weird way, I think, is guts. Like, you're down 2-0, your best pitcher because of a bad hop or just a misplay by Hayes. They kept saying bad hop on the broadcast. I thought he should have had the ball. You're down 2-0 to a team that knows how to win, that's been on a major roll. The fact that they actually tied the game up and then won the game, and then Bednar white knuckles his way to a save, that's a gutty effort. Does Ben Cherington have any guts as a GM, I would wonder, to make a move that makes him uncomfortable to make this team better? My argument right now, or my answer to that, would be no. The most pertinent thing I have heard that has rung the truest to me about this team in the last 24 hours is Noah Hyles telling us that they haven't really done anything because his understanding from people he's talked to is it's got to be the perfect trade for Ben Cherington. Nothing in life is perfect. You don't approach a job situation, a relationship isn't always perfect. You have to sometimes deal with being vaguely uncomfortable that you didn't get the perfect deal out of something, that the situation is not fully ideal. Is Ben Cherington going to show any of the gumption and guts that his team has routinely showed despite being outmanned most games? Is he? Or are we going to sit here tomorrow mainly because the deadline will hit right as we go off the air and go, I don't know how we thought we got suckered into this again, but we did, that they might do something. They didn't.
We're not getting suckered into it.
No, but you know what I mean. Writ large, you and I are cynical about this, but like the idea that we even discussed it for so many days leading up, I'm going to feel so stupid that I even paid lip service to the idea that they could go after Jazz Chisholm or they could go after any of these other available players. Yandy Diaz right now, Brent Rooker. It'll all feel so stupid.
Well, those things all feel to me like it's boy who cried wolf. I don't buy any of it right now. It's even clear in the way it's being reported. Yandy Diaz, John Heyman says, Pirates outside chance. There are teams ahead of them, Yankees, Astros, you would think, based on their history, that would be willing to give up more to get him. There's more urgency in those places. There's more of a willingness to go after it this year. Brian De La Cruz in the last half hour. They're interested, but there's a gap in talks. You're kind of running out of time to close a gap. This is not the week before the trade deadline. It's hours away from it. So I'm of the opinion that they are going to find the warts. They're going to be the guy that isn't married in his 40s or 50s because every girl he dated, he found something about her that he didn't like. And that's what I think we're going to get here. Diaz, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm stunned that it's even to the point where they get their names included on him because he doesn't strike me as someone that Ben Cherington would like or want. He turns 33 years old next month. He's owed $10 million next year. That would make him the third highest paid Pirate behind Brian Reynolds and Mitch Keller. Then there's the matter of where does he play? I mean, honestly, when you look at his numbers this year, he's not a better defensive first baseman than Tellez. And frankly, he's not a better hitter than Tellez right now. Mm-hmm. And against righties, he's not a better hitter than McCutchen. So most of your games are against right-handed pitching. If they're quote-unquote interested in him, does that mean they're going to acquire him to play third base and they're going to keep Ryan Hayes down?
Nope, they wouldn't do that.
So I just have a hard time believing that they're even interested in him at all.
What's his utility to them based on what you just said? If all of those things we assume to be true, then he has very little utility to them.
It's 250, 673 OPS against right-handed pitching. That's not better than McCutchen or Tellez. And he's expensive by the Pirate standards next year.
I don't think he would be particularly appealing to Bob Nutting on that end of it.
So if you tell him you're a first baseman or a DH, then do you go to Andrew McCutchen and say, you've only played 8 games in right field last year and 5 games this year. We're going to move you out there at 37 years old and ask you to play the position basically every day to make room for Wandy Diaz, who hits 250 against right-handed
Yandy Diaz.
I have a hard time believing that. De La Cruz, I think they'd like because he's younger and he's cheaper and he hits home runs, but there's a gap in talks that gets back to prospects.
How good of a player even is he? He hits home runs, but he's like a pretty mediocre offensive player.
You know
other
what,
than
though?
That.
Mediocre looks and sounds good right now, Chris.
He's got almost 40 extra base hits. I get it. He's going to hit the ball over the fence and hit the ball off the wall. I get it.
I mean, a lot of these guys look good to me because of the lineup. They had a perfect game going in Houston against them last night by a bullpen game.
I thought it was going to happen, by the way.
For almost two-thirds of the game before Grandal homered.
Yeah, of all people, Yasmani Grandal, it's a no-doubter. I don't know.
So I just gave you all the reasons why they might not view Diaz as a perfect player, and then there's the problem of the guys that Tampa Bay allegedly wants included in the trade. Ashcraft, Brannigan, Riley, these are guys.
Well, that's what you put that out there. Did you see what I responded you with? The old tweet about love this trade for the Rays. Who'd they give up and who'd they get? Because they always win trades. I wouldn't trade him for those guys. Because it seems like an overpay for a guy that you're... Well, I wouldn't trade Yandy Diaz, obviously, for those guys. Because it seems like that it's an overpay for a player you can't even find a spot for. You and I are the exact same right now on this front. We both expect little to nothing to happen. And it just... there are people out there who have said for weeks, why is anybody getting geared up to think they'll do something? They never do. Even though we've said that isn't true, that this team won't get augmented, this team won't get helped, and those people I think are going to be proven more or less correct, Pony. And it is a depressing thing to admit on the air. Because you know why? Because they're different from other Pirates teams that only had minor additions made to them. They have Paul Skeens.
Yep.
That makes this a different equation than it otherwise would be.
Donnie,
the only person who doesn't seem to understand that is Ben Cherington.
Donnie, do you agree with what Sherman said, that they need to try harder for the fans and that they need to stop kicking the can down the road? Do you feel like they're going to do that in the next 4 hours?
I mean, they should try harder for themselves. Not just the fans. They should try harder for themselves. They should actually realize, despite what Nightingale said yesterday, the Pirates are in no man's land. That made little to no sense to me.
He was just happy to finish the interview, let's be honest.
I mean, he didn't even know what team was being discussed when he came on air.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, sounds good.
They are in this thing. They are very much in this thing. They should know that. They are not in no man's land. They should also know what they have on their pitching staff could actually make some noise if they do get to October. If you're not going to go for it now, like, when are you going to actually go for it?
Here's another thing.
Do a favor to yourself, to your team.
Do you think they will? I mean, we got McHenry on in the last hour talking about how they've got Aleca
Williams
and Hunter Stratton as reinforcements.
Well,
you think they will?
Do I think they will?
Yes. Are you as cynical as Chris and I?
I think they'll get like a middle of the road outfielder.
Kevin Pillar.
I don't count him as middle of the road.
He's dirt road. Taylor Ward.
Yeah, I mean probably. Hey,
they're one of three teams in on Taylor Ward. Do you want to bet one of the other two teams, if that's actually true, gets Taylor Ward? I do. You have Paul Skeens for how many years, Pony? For sure. Probably four. Hopefully five full years.
Under team control for more,
but you know what I mean.
The Forrest contract.
If you believe your window exists for as long as Paul Skeens is here and healthy, best case scenario, you have 6 years. Realistic scenario, you have 5 years. So you're telling me you're going to punt? You have 20% of the time that you think you will be a viable contender. You're going to basically punt one of those deadlines?
By the way, Ward has a 169 batting average in July.
No, he sucks. Remember, we heard. He basically got, like, the jitters because he got hit in the face, which is a good reason to have jitters. But
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers. that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still.
If you change your mind,
take a chance
on the first in line.
Now a shot off the bat of Yandy Diaz. That's got some carry to it. And that baby's out of here. Home run, Yandy Diaz. High shot back into deep right field. Bowers all the way to the wall. Gone. Home run off the bat of Yandy Diaz.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Insiders saying the Pirates have an outside chance of acquiring former batting champion Yandy Diaz. In our deadline debate segment in 15 minutes, Ronnie Night Train Lane, who is the pre- and post-game host, the Dan Zangrilli of Rays Baseball, is set to join us to tell us, will they be acquiring Yandy Diaz? We'll find out. And speaking of Dan, he will be a part of our PM Team Trade Roundtable at 2:45.
The PM Team Trade Deadline Roundtable.
Yes.
What? In what
part
of baseball?
Why was there like a guy getting punched at the
yeah.
end?
Oh, I don't know about that part, but that was those were nights.
Play that again. Those are nights?
The PM Team Trade Deadline Roundtable.
Which night would you like to be?
Like Knights of the Round Table, no, you know.
Would you like to be Galahad, Arthur, Bedivere, and do some Monty Python
How
here?
How about Sir Valiant? Wasn't he a knight?
Prince Valiant?
Yeah.
Sir Valiant Brown? Who did that guy play?
The PM Team Trade Deadline Roundtable.
Pow! I was going to say, since when do knights of like medieval times just throw fists? I thought they had swords and shields. It sounds like somebody's getting sucker punched.
You're right. I thought there was etiquette
right.
to knights jousting and...
Oh, no, that was a sword fight, and somebody was throwing forearm shivers in there.
So that is coming up later here.
Even that great piece of production cannot shake me from my stupor that I'm in right now about this, man. You started the show, and I think you were probably hoping that I had somehow had a change of heart, but I haven't. I expect nothing that will excite me to happen between now and 6 o'clock.
Let's see where our listeners are at. 412-928-9370, starting with Joe in Mount Washington. Hello, Joe.
Hi, fellas. How are you today?
Hey, man.
What's up, Joe?
Not great right now. Yeah. We're waiting on a big move.
Cheer us up, Joe.
Well, wait till this conversation's done. You're going to feel even worse.
Oh, great.
They're doing nothing. They're going to do nothing like they always do. They're going to go into next year with the opportunity to hopefully sign some free agents. They'll get also Rans and has-beens. If you look at the payroll, I'm driving, so I can't give you the exact numbers. They have $89 million. They could sign $60 million worth of players and still be 15th in the league and make this team unbelievable. He's going to do nothing, nothing. You know, you're a billionaire. You succeed in life. You would think you'd be competitive at this. Someone should check his manhood, honestly, because he doesn't want to win. He's a billionaire, so I can't say he's a loser, but the guy doesn't want to win.
How much
he
of this you put on? Win. How much you put a put on the GM?
I mean, who are they going to get? These guys are upgrades to what we have, but are they taking us to the promised land? Probably not. Like, when was the last time the Pirates, like, we have, okay, let's use $50 million for next year's team, because they're not doing anything this year. If $50 million, they could go on and find two bats for $25 million apiece, they'd actually legitimately have a chance to win the Super
Joe,
Bowl.
Joe, I got some news for
World
you, though.
Series, but yes, we get it.
I got some news for you, Joe, and everybody else. They're going to see Josh Bell, the Pirates, because he just got traded to Arizona.
Really?
Yes.
How about that?
Josh Bell traded to Arizona, so the Pirates will see Josh Bell this weekend. That is, hold on.
Last 10 games, 342 with 5 homers and 10 ribbies for Josh.
This is Craig Mish.
Oh, he's the big Marlins insider.
We had
him on to talk about Jazz Chisholm.
Who I also had blocked because of the blue blocker thing. I've got to keep unblocking all these people. I'm like Starkey now, the accidental Starkey. Yeah. Marlins have traded Josh Bell to the Diamondbacks 4 minutes ago.
Well, I had him dubbed as a guy that was not even going to get traded for, that was just going to pass through waivers, and the Pirates, all they would need to do was take on his salary for the rest of the year. Evidently, another team that they're chasing wanted to do that instead. Not that I think Bell would have made a huge difference, but again, the bar is so low here in terms of who's on the bench and who the guys are in the bottom of the order that if you could get him for nothing, he would be an upgrade. Here is Dan in Uniontown. Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a 25% chance they do anything that gets the that will even better the team. I think this is an organizational issue. I think that it's an issue where you have a billionaire who owns a team that isn't a sports guy to begin with, and let's face it, he's a good businessman, but you got to know sports, and I don't think he knows sports, and I don't think he wants to know sports. I think he gets that paycheck and he makes his money, and that's all he cares about.
Does that let the GM off the hook?
Yes, and I tell you why it leaves the GM off the hook. Because I own my business, and I know that my employees, and I know that everybody that works for me, the 29 employees that work for me, they can't do anything unless I put a rubber stamp on it and unless I foot the bill. He foots the bill. So I think that he has a rope around the GM's neck, and every time the GM tries to call somebody or wants to give something up for something, he pulls that rope. I don't buy that it's not just him. I think if we have any other owner own the team, I think they'd be doing something, especially if they know sports.
Well, I think we'll find out. I mean, if they don't make a move and then we hear whispers that Bob had signed off or endorsed on them trying to add and upgrade this team and it didn't happen, then I would think Ben Cherington's standing with the owner would go down considerably.
But hold on. We've already had this battle. I think you were out on your last week of parental leave. There were dueling reports that Bob Nutting wanted Ben Cherington to do something and nothing was being done. And then there were reports that came out that were very clearly from the GM side of it that suggested that he was hamstrung, that he didn't have the leeway people thought or the freedom people thought to make certain moves. I will say only this, particularly in an uncapped league where it is different, it is much more ideal that you have an owner in a market like Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or Cleveland, who within reason tries to treat the team like a toy as far as the level of wealth that they have and the willingness they are to spend into the red or do whatever to some extent, even if it's like $20 million in the red 1 year, $30 million. A guy who's got deep enough pockets, who's worth $10, $12, $14 billion, that's the ideal owner, somebody that just treats it like, hey, it's fun, it's appreciating every year in value. Whenever I decide to sell it, I'm going to make four times what I paid.
Here is PM Team fan Hall of Famer, caller Hall of Famer. She went in on the first ballot. Carolyn Clinton back with us. Hello, Carol.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Carol.
Carol, you got anything optimistic for us, sunshine and rainbows?
Yeah, you know who you're talking to, right?
Yeah, we know.
This pessimist. Well, here, you know what? I don't know if it's Nutting or Cherington. I thought when they got rid of Neil Huntington that we would stop seeing this hoarding of prospects. They ought to change the name of the team to the Pittsburgh Prospects. Because next to Cherington, Huntington looked like a riverboat gambler.
He actually made trades to augment good teams, and in one case, he made a very bad trade to try to make a middling team.
He gambled and lost, and it probably cost him his job in the long run.
But you know what? Don't you think at this point, fans, if you told fans of the Pirates, it's either what you've seen so far or Ben Cherington's going to make a trade and there's about a 35 to 40% chance it works out really well and a 60% chance it doesn't, I think they would all take that deal, don't you? Make the trade. Because they want to see him try to do something.
Our guy Cody Duncan, who's a big fan of the show.
Huge fan.
Tweeted out that it might not mean anything, but Tamar Johnson just got pulled out of the game down in Greensboro. In the ninth inning, down a run. That is very odd. That's peculiar.
He could be going.
Tamar Johnson is on. Gone. A hopper homer.
That is highly
unusual.
That guy
had an electric call the other day.
I still think a lot, like over half the people that respond to that guy's calls don't like them.
That is intriguing.
It is. Is he on hug watch then? Because that's always the thing. If he's hugging his teammates, he might have been traded.
By the way, I was right. What did it take for the Diamondbacks to get Josh Bell? Donnie's favorite thing to trade.
Cash considerations.
Cash considerations. Time time for deadline debates. The guy that Pirates fans are in some ways fawning over right now is Yandy Diaz, because there have been rumors about him for the last few days. John Heyman saying still an outside chance the Pirates get the first base DH, who's also played third. And by the way, back in 2023, he won the AL batting crown. So we'll see if something happens in the next few hours on that. Yes, Mulsey, you're about to pipe in?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's going to be up there on kind of random guys to win the batting crown, no?
Is it to Freddie Sanchez heights?
Freddie won one or two of them. I thought Freddie won two of them. Or am I completely insane?
Well, you've got the
human encyclopedia
of Pirates information. Dan,
no, I guess not. No,
right.
It's in the same vein. Freddie never hit better than 304 in another year, and then that year he hit 344.
Let's bring on from the Rays flagship. He is their pre and post game host, Ronnie Night Train Lane, on Yandy Diaz here. Ronnie, are you convinced the Rays make another trade and deal this guy in the next few hours?
I'm not convinced, but first of all, thanks, guys, for having me on. I'm not convinced, but with the way things have been going, I mean, since early July, they traded 7 players, so they're definitely big-time sellers. I guess it just depends on what they're looking for, and they keep everything very close to the vest. The president of baseball operations, Eric Neander, a very shrewd guy, very sharp guy. They've been to the playoffs 5 straight years, and he said to us, that the reason they're making these deals now, even though the team's only 2 games over 500, I think they're 3.5 or 4.5 out of the final wild card spot, but they're like 4 teams that have got to climb over in the rugged American League to make the playoffs. So that really the chances are not great for them making the playoffs for 6 consecutive years. So what he is saying they're doing is restocking their farm system and wanting to keep the team from having droughts to where they don't make the playoffs, long droughts like a couple of years or every other year. They want to be able to consistently make the playoffs like they've done for the last 5 years.
Ronnie, I'll be honest. I don't really want the Pirates to trade for Yandy Diaz, because I just assume that the old joke about great trade for the Rays, I love it, who did they trade and who did they get, is going to apply here, because these guys seem to win every trade that they execute. Can you shed any light on how they are so good at seemingly getting guys that make an impact for them, and more so than other teams, certainly, when they acquire prospects?
Yes, we live this with the Chris Archer disaster, Ronnie.
I'm just going to lay it all out there. Chris Archer, I have, like, trade PTSD from the Chris Archer deal.
Well, I know the Pirates do. That was just an awful deal for the Pirates, and obviously it worked wonders for the Tampa Bay Rays, but here's the deal with these guys. Like I said, Neander is very shrewd, and he learned from the best, the guy who's the GM now, Andy Friedman, with the L.A. Dodgers. The Rays, you know, don't pay a whole lot of money for front office people, and when he had the opportunity to go to L.A. and make the big bucks, and you can't blame him, Andrew Friedman did that, and you see what he's doing with the Dodgers. But the Rays just like having a lot of young talent at their disposal. Now, the ownership has said, since they're getting a brand-new stadium in 3 years, 4 years, they want to be ready on opening day, April 2028. So in order to – they want to be able to field a very solid team. And they've had some – you know, they've had some ups and downs with some players they signed to long-term deals, namely Wander Franco. That did not work out. And he was supposed to be a generational-type player, the young man who was the shortstop. I don't know. It's a long – you guys know the whole story.
Yep. Ronnie Lane with us here from Tampa. He is their pre- and post-game host. So give us a scouting report on Diaz in 2024. If the Pirates were to make this deal, what would they be getting?
You would be getting an incredible hitter. The guy makes contact like nobody's business. He's got a great eye at the plate. He doesn't run particularly fast, but the Rays have him in the leadoff spot because of his ability to get on base, a high on-base percentage. As you guys were talking about before I came on, batting league champ last year, hit .330. Got off to a very slow start this year, but he has rebounded, and he's now got that average into the mid-260s. He's just a pure hitter. I don't know what else. He hits the ball harder than anybody I know, particularly on this team. He hits the ball harder. He makes a lot of good, solid contact. So you will be getting a player that's going to make a difference offensively on your club. And he's not bad defensively either. He can play several positions.
Can he play third?
Well, actually, he can play third and he can play first. They have him at first because they have – well, they don't have Esau Paredes at third anymore. They're all-star this year. He's gone. They traded him. But, yeah, Yandy can play both first and third adequately. And, of course, he can be a great DH for you, too. So, and he's super in the clubhouse.
Ronnie, question I have about him is the numbers. It seems almost like he's a pure platoon guy in some ways. Crushes lefties, but not very effective against righties, necessarily.
That was not the case last year. This year, like I said, he got off to a real slow start. As far as his salary goes, I don't know where the Pirates are. And this is the other thing. The Rays have the highest salary, you know, for their team overall salary that they've had since their existence in 1998. And I think they wanted to break that up a little bit more and get more solid footing on a group of youngsters that are going to be able to help them win consistently once they get into their new house. And the word is, once they develop players in the new house, they're going to, you know, instead of trading them off, they're going to keep them around. But Yandy, you'll be getting a hell of a player if you get Yandy.
All right, there you go. Ronnie Lane from Tampa, Rays pre- and post-game host on one of the big names that's left out there and still associated and attached to the Pirates. Thanks, Ronnie. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, fellas.
That was a glowing endorsement, Malzy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.